in a world where our sponsor for this season is taking legal action against us. In a world where our defence lawyer has brought an automatic assault rifle into the courtroom. And in a world where we will be podcasting from an undisclosed location, nowhere near the caves of Lower Afghanistan Heights.
These humble octogenarians will use plant-based life forms and cling wrap to show the world how to feed the masses on the Siamese herring. Experiment.
Hello, Brian.
Oh, Brian, good to see you again.
Yeah, you too, Brian. It's been a bit hectic of late, as it usually is these days, but we'll push onwards.
We will.
See where we end up.
We will, Brian. Now, with all this weather events happening around the world and the crust and the magma and the core of the earth shifting around a bit, there's been a lot of consternation in the world over the last, I suppose, 15 to 20 minutes about the fact that we're a bit off course when it comes to things in the world. We've always been the right sort of people to give people guidance. We're very good at accusing people. We're very good at making sure people understand that we're a better life form than most. But at the moment, I think we've got a conundrum in the world, Brian, haven't we, with all this unrest.
Yes.
The sexual antics of different people in the world, cricket captains, advisors to parliamentarians. Then you've got the clergy. Then you've got the sports people themselves in general.
Oh, yes.
Now, Brian, I know that you keep a pretty close touch on the sporting environment of Australia.
Yes.
What do you see as the outcome of all this angst that's happening at the moment?
Well, I think this is really going to be a great boom for women's sports. There's not been very much interest in women, women's issues, women's sports. None of that's been very important over the last millennia or so. But now with all these idiots in the mainstream sports arenas, the men folk are just behaving worse than normal. And I think that's it's going to end up being a ratings winner for women's sports. I know there's been a bit of netball, I think it was, that's been reasonably popular in the past. But I can see women's cricket really taking off now. You know, women in the past haven't been able to actually hold a bat. They used to throw like girls. They just really couldn't even do the pads up on the legs properly, let alone put the bails on the wickets. But now with this, all the men being complete morons and in the papers all the time, all over social media, it's really letting the girls have a crack. And I think this might be a very good thing for civilization.
I agree, Brian. I know that there's quite a few male cricketers that actually start talking about transitioning now. There's a movement happening, I think, in particularly in the Southern Hemisphere. I know the New Zealanders have been all over it for years. Most of the women's team now are ex-international male cricketers, if you want to call it that. But now you can't say male or female because everybody's the same. But what's happening is that you've got these 6'8" cricketers that are women. They're playing all multi-sports these days. They don't stick to cricket. They're into netball. They're fully into motor racing, mountaineering, dog sledding. Anything they can get their hands on now that could entail a trophy, they go, well, I can't do it as a man, so I might as well do it as a woman. And the TV rights are coming up stronger and higher. I think it's a bit of a cash cow, Brian. I really honestly think that Ropart nerd that will get on it full-time. Him and his stupid wife, Jerry Hellyer, she'll go fucking nuts for it. And then the world will just go around in circles for a while until we've got another virus.
Well, I think that's what we need, Brian. I think we need to slow the ship down, steady the course, and just go round and round in circles for a bit. This might prove to be a bit of a winner to help slow down the global crisis that we have. There's too much binary Now you've got male, you've got female, you've got good, you've got bad, you've got light and dark. It's just it's a black and white world, Brian, and we can't have that anymore. We need lots of shades of grey. We need trans, LGBTQXYZ people doing things that are unrecognisable to any other one on the planet.
Yes.
No one knows what anyone's doing, so you've got to guess constantly. We're moving into this world of perpetual what the fuck's going on. I think it'll all really slow down the machinations of this terrible world that we're descending into, Brian.
I agree, Brian. Nobody in their right mind would say that what we're doing is heading into an abyss, because they are in their right mind when they think about that.
Yes.
But the abyss is like the event horizon. It's something that when you peek over the side of it and you look down, you go, oh, geez, there's 7-Elevens everywhere. Oh, there's a McDonald's. Oh, look at that. There's people in need. Look, I think like we're coming into a new reality, Brian. We're going to have to put some of this stuff behind us, this criticalisms and the manginess of the world and the sordid details that everybody wants to put out their washing and get into the real world where everybody is equal. There's no famine. And there's no death, there's no wars, there's no newspapers, there's no toilet paper. And the world is what you'd call boring, Brian. And I think we should go that way, actually. I think we should turn it on its friggin' head. And I think we should just start escalating the process. You know, more global warming, more crude, more bloody wind-generated dogs. And I think we should all start talking about the new food of the future. And the new food of the future is going to come from alien intervention. As you know, Brian, I've been keeping an eye on the NASA projects that have been going on for a long time now. I know you and I had a lot to do with NASA in the 1960s and 70s.
We did. We've always had a great relationship with NASA and Cape Canaveral, and some of the old-timey astronauts, not these new breed, the old-timey astronauts that just flew by sense of smell. These other ones heavily reliant on the computers. I remember when we spoke to Buzz many a time, he used to just turn the instruments off on Neil Armstrong. Just as they were getting ready to break out of the Earth's atmosphere. He'd just turn everything off, just as a bit of a joke on Neil, and he freaked out for a little bit. But Buzzy was always, you know, come on, Neil, sit back, you know, Cape Canaveral's not listening to Neil, have a six-pack, come on. And they'd open up a few tinnies and just put the foot to the metal, to the pedal, and the hit the thing in the zebra-doo, and off they'd go, willy-nilly, Brian. That was the days. That was the spirit.
I love the fact in those days, Brian, that, you know, when they were doing a lot of space travel, they'd do it in the nude. Now, you know, these space ships now, they've all got their, you know, their gear on, and they're all, like, you know, monitored, you know, make sure that everything's ticking away properly, that their bowel movements are right. But back in the day, you know, when we were out there with NASA, there was, you know, what's his name, Phil Collins, up there in the orbiter while he's looking down on the moon, and he didn't think anybody was watching him. He's in the nude, listening to his own music. Now, I love that in a man. I love the fact that he is so confident and just actually unaware that the world was watching, but being at peace with himself.
He was.
And
to be that relaxed and content, Brian, to just be able to play your guitar, have what's that other favourite drink of his? He had the cocktail bar open 24/7.
Black Russian, Brian.
On those flights. Black Russians, that was it. Just to sit back in the nude, playing your guitar, sipping on a Black Russian as you're just going around and around the moon and just ever so gently touching yourself. That was just a wonderful moment. Mm. And we've seen the tapes. Yeah. It never got out to the general public, which was terribly unfortunate. Mm. I do think the world was ready for it. But no, Cape Canaveral wouldn't have it, unfortunately.
No. I think they're available in 2069. It's a 100-year anniversary, and they're going to have a big parade, Phil, and they're going to relaunch Apollo 11 again. Into interstellar space with just a facsimile of Phil in the nude. Because by then, everybody will be embracing the fact that it's okay to do what you want. At the moment, yes. There's limitations. There's laws and there's secrecy and then there's internet things and there's the chance of actually libelous things. Mm. But by then, we believe that, and NASA agrees, that whatever you do in interstellar space stays in interstellar space. Yes. And if you bring it back to Earth, people go, well, that's okay. You know, you're allowed to do that because, we're free. And everybody's free to do whatever they want, because you've got your Rittenhouse chappy, as you've discussed previously. Yes, like he's a superstar of the media world now, isn't he, Brian?
He is indeed. He's done some wonderful things with the media. He's a real entrepreneur. He really he just sat around home thinking, no, I don't want to just be another American living a mundane life, struggling to get by, not being able to pay for your children's clothes or their food, not be able to go to the dentist. No, I don't want any of that. I want to start a new life. I want to make my mark on the world. And he did. He really did. And I think that having his new enterprise on board as a sponsor in the future will just be just what we need. Yeah. In this day and age, and we're more than happy to help him on his journey. Mm. So that leads us into some sponsors for next season. Brian, shall I tell the listeners about the new major sponsor?
Oh, yeah, please do, Brian. I think I'm looking forward to letting the listeners know.
Okay, well, this brings us to our next season, which is coming up very shortly. The new sponsor is Rittenhouse, House of Guns and Vigilante Supplies. They've really come into their own. They specialise in masks and lawyer requisites as well. So we'll be giving you a bit more dope on that. We don't want to let too much out of the bag now. It's been fully endorsed by Donald Trump. And what more do you need for credibility, Brian?
No, Brian, I think when you start talking names like that, you've got to duck and cover, as I used to say. But realistically, I mean, Rittenhouse has got just that. It's like the House of Gucci or, Dolce & Gabbana or maybe Arnott's Biscuits. It's the same thing, Brian.
It is, Brian, I think. Once we can introduce Kyle to that favourite entrepreneur of ours, Mick O'Reilly, once old Kyle Rittenhouse gets a load of some mentorship from Mick O'Reilly, that he will just turn into House of Rittenhouse.
That's right.
That'll be all you need. It'll be across the world.
It will be, Brian. Now, look, we're going to let one cat out of the bag, or maybe even a whole flock of cats, but he is going to get into the tank industry. As we all know, that the natural progression for a kiddie who's in their teenage years, you've got to go from automatic rifles straight into the big hardware. Now, we love that entrepreneurship of the young fella. Mm-hmm. He's got a great team of illegal ease behind him. And the Rittenhouse tank, it's going to be a monster thing. It's going to have a couple of bedrooms. It's going to have lots of weapons. And, well, I think there's going to be a platform so you can have your ideological people standing on front of it, sprouting goodwill and cheer and death to the rest of the masses.
Yeah, and I love the onboard barbecue and cooking system that is on the back of the tank. That's a real winner because there's no need to starve when you're on a mission.
That's right.
You can eat well and kill well with a barbecue fueled by nuclear fission.
Ah, that's exactly right, buddy. I think the thing is, Brian, that we all follow the American culture like it's just like the new world, and the beauty of what the Americans are all about is that they love to back their big vehicles up and have a barbecue or a smoker on the back at their football games. And you can see that all the tanks going to line up, the Rittenhouse tanks.
Yep.
18-cylinder diesel engines belching smoke into the food. Yep. And that's what we want to see these days. None of this like little Weber barbecue that people talk about in Australia. We want to talk about these big fucking 18-cylinders belching smoke into a porterhouse that's the size of a chicken dog.
I think probably by Christmas time, Gomo, our beloved leader, is going to be tearing up this ANZUS or the ANCOR or the Malevich submarine contract. He'll be tearing up the latest submarine contract and going for the Rittenhouse submarine, which is still a twinkle in old Kyle's eye. But the mere mention of it has got ScoMo on his knees in church just praying for another contract-ripping ceremony. He can't wait till we get with Mick O'Reilly and bring young Rittenhouse out to Australia for a tour, a well-guided tour of regional Australia.
And
we can see how he goes with some common down-to-earth Aussie battlers.
That's right, Brian. And, you know, it's another secret that's been let out a while ago when we talked to the listeners and they knew that Kyle was coming out here, that his first engagement in Australia is going to be a gimpy.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be embraced totally. The outdoor rifle range and the indoor rifle range are going to become fully encompassed with kiddies, families, animals.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring his tanks over and maybe, from what I can tell, the blueprints for the new submarine on display at the Gympie CWA Farmhouse Association, where they've got lots of tanks, military items, and lots of sconces. Now, the beauty of this, Brian, is that when you look at the American culture and you look at the Australian obedience to the Americans as such, that we are the best stop-off.
Yeah, we are.
Before everything is put into motion towards China, Russia, the French, because we're at the French now. Everybody hates the French now because their microwave ovens don't work properly, especially on a submarine. That was the reason why that was torn up. But the Rittenhouse, the Society of Rittenhouse will take over the world, and we're going to be at the forefront because this is what we need now, Brian. You know, everybody's talking about the weather. Okay. Everybody's talking about not enough rain, not enough sun, and not enough coal. Yep. The thing is now weapons. Australia's going to be the weaponized country in the Southern Hemisphere.
It's always a good way to take focus off problems is by introducing other problems of the military kind. It happens every election, everywhere in the world. And you're quite right. For a very, very, very long time now, I think since the invention of McDonald's, that the world's really wanting to embrace American culture. And it doesn't matter if that includes mass shootings, inaffordable health care, poverty, destitution, extreme racism, murder in the streets, public hangings, toilets that don't work properly, fecal matter in the streets. None of that matters. That just heightens the Western experience, as it were. And it will take a long time before people realise that it's just not the way to go. Even the global warming, the global cooling, the global earthquakes, the entire climate crisis is just playing second banana to the American way of life, Brian.
Yeah, all the listeners will be in absolute agreement with the fact that we've been going the wrong way. We've been following our morals and our thought patterns that we thought were right, and we were wrong. You know, the Rittenhouse law of living now will become the norm. We can't get rid of the virus, so the only way to do it is blast it to pieces with lots of weapons and weaponry and just pure bloody blindness. Now, I respect that, Brian. I mean, you know, we've talked about this years ago when we were talking with Nixon. And, you know, then Gerald Ford and all the other idiots that were running the country. We're just small fry when it comes to all this. But at the end of the day, when it comes to Australia, we've got to stand up. And we've been sitting down too long. We've been a bit too lazy. I think there's been too many sexual antics happening in Australia. I think we've got to pick up some weapons and get on the move.
Yeah.
That's what good people do. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of fear-mongering in the past, but it's been rather ineffectual. I mean, John Howard tried to do a bit of fear-mongering there in the old days, but that was nothing. It was appalling. We've got ScoMo now. He's talking it up. His buddy, though, is just outshining him, Potato Head. Now, we've really got to watch what we say about old Peter potato head, because he's just gone a bit legislative madness. He's picking on small children that don't like him. Just last week, he sued a four-year-old child for $87 million because he called him baldy. And then not to mention that the numerous people he's put in detention camps for saying that he looks like a fat idiot. We've had just the start of the reign of terror from Darth Dutton, and he's lining up for the next election. He's going to swoop in, and instead of this metaphorically stabbing Scammer on the back, I think he's going to do the real job. It's going to be a real hatchet job, as it were, and the fear-mongering that's going to go around the next election will be an absolute winner for potato Dutton.
Yeah, you're right, Brian. You know, like we've discussed this at length over a couple of thousand bottles of red wine, and the fact is that, you know, potato head's the future. If Australia's going to get into the normal way of governing, you know, across the world, the despots like, you know, your Putin, Xi Jinping, Trump, you know, Angela Merkel was had too much dignity to do that. But potato head is the man. Now, ScoMo's got to go. I think we package him up and send him over to like Antarctica, put him in Mawson's hut, and then just thaw him out, you know, about 10, 20, 30,000 years' time, because he's a rel. Now, what we want is we want the new world. Potato head's out there. He's going to do it. Now, we need him with Barnacle Jones. He's insane. And I don't think we'd prop up the whole the parliament with lots of clowns. Pauline Hanson's got to be in there. She's got to be like the chief whip. But the reality of it is, Brian, if you've got a cash crop, which is potatoes, you know, running the country, all you need then, pure earth, dirt. Dirt's the next thing, Brian.
It is. I don't think we've seen enough of dirt. I don't think we get enough out of dirt. I think people have been looking in the wrong direction for many, many years for, you know, fossil fuels. People sort of dig stuff out of the dirt all the time, but they just overlook the dirt itself. So I think we'll be getting onto that quite soon. CSIRO followed our advice in doing a lot of dirt experiments. They're gathering dirt from all over the globe. Elon's sending a bit of dirt back from Mars. And we're going to be really digging up the dirt so we can use that to power the way out of adversity.
And that's right, Brian. Finally, that's what the listeners can look forward to. We're going to have a whole series about dirt coming up in the future time.
Yes.
And it'll be a total expose.
Indeed. And we're going to be promoting clean dirt from here on in, just like clean coal is a total fiction, it's a fallacy, but clean dirt is another matter, and once we get the clean dirt system on board, I think that the world will be just on another level altogether. All problems solved.
It will be, Brian. It's been great talking to you again today, Brian. I think we've solved many things. A lot of the people who've been listening obviously go, geez, I'm aghast at all the information we've had. Yep. Not to be humble about it or proud, but I just thought I'd just throw it in because bloody hell, bugger it.
Yeah, that's quite correct. So it's good to see you again. We'll be in touch during the week. And next episode, we'll be letting the cat out of the bag about a brand new series coming up.
Okay, Brian, we'll do that. Edden, Brian.
Edden.
Hey, Brian, I might do a wee.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, Brian, I might do a wee.